Good morning.
Good morning.
You've made it through Thanksgiving. We're now on the slippery slope to New Year's. I hope it's a joyous occasion for you, that we can avoid the grind of the season can often become. When we were first married, I was a merchandiser for JCPenney. And in my training period, I saw over the toy department at Christmas. I knew exactly what the Grinch was the first time I saw the movie. But it was the celebration of Advent in the weeks before Christmas. Our church in Louisiana observed it. We had the hanging of the green and the lighting of the candles, the reading of the story. It gave an intentionality to approaching this time of year. And I think that's a lot of wisdom in that. It worked for me, and I hope that it will work in your life as well. Today, we're turning our thoughts to the angelic witness. Now, I want you to imagine there's a dark sky, but it's very clear. In fact, the stars seem to be especially bright tonight. A few of your fellow shepherds are watching the sheep, caring for their needs, making sure that there are no predators about, and that they have been bedded down for the evening. Most of the other shepherds are asleep a short distance away, and you and some of the shepherds who share your watch begin to discuss political matters. Will Rome continue to hold sway over Israel? Will the great days of glory, the time of David, ever return to this land? And then, of course, things rotate over to religious matters, and someone voices the hope of a great military leader, the Messiah, who has been sought for so long, maybe would finally come. And another scoffs at the idea, feeling that it's all a myth. It's been over 400 years since a prophet has been seen in the land. God seems to have forgotten about his people, he says. The campfire that they're huddled around begins to die down, so you decide to stoke it up a bit. And the most amazing thing happens. Suddenly, the whole pasture is flooded with the most brilliant light, a pure light. It's brighter than the sun, and yet it's different. And then you realize that there's another presence before you, someone who hasn't been there even just a moment before. You are absolutely terrified. You know the traditions teach that no one has ever stood in the presence of God and lived. And this may be such an occasion, and this might not be God, but it's got to be one of his heavenly beings who have just been in God's presence because he shone with the Shekinah glory of the Lord. It must be one of his angels that you've heard of since you were a child. You can't say anything. You shrink back and you fall to the ground trembling. And then he speaks. And the sound is marvelous to your ears. He says strongly and yet with a soothing quality, "Don't be afraid." And for some strange reason, the intense fear that had gripped you begins to dissipate. It's like the morning mist, and now you feel a deep sense of excitement as the angel continues to tell you the most amazing things. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there that night on a hillside in Judea when some extraterrestrials brought a tremendous message, and it was a message of peace, promise, and praise That fits nicely into a sermon. So let's look at Luke 2, 8 through 14. You have it there on the back of your bulletin. I'm reading from the NIV, but I think what's there is going to work just fine. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel and were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Amen. I hope reading this wonderful old story never becomes old hat to you. There's so much drama, there's so much power in the retelling. So we see that the angel first delivered a message of peace. Peace is a precious commodity, isn't it? There's not very much of it to go around, it seems. It's one of those things that we tend to take for granted until we lose it. On global terms, it's especially scarce. You could take a globe and spin it and put your finger at a random spot, and more than likely, you will find that there is no peace in that particular locality. War abounds, whether we're in the Middle East or South Africa, Central America, Asia. Arms have been taken up and killing is taking place. Terrorism is rampant and has been for generations. Innocent people are gunned down, blown up by one political faction or another. And we add to that the unusual droughts and famines and floods that have been occurring worldwide. And we get quite a bleak picture, don't we? In our own country, we see a population that has demanded tougher prison sentences and an escalation in violent crimes. Even in rural areas, you see more bars on the doors and windows. We don't feel safe. Peace eludes us. And then on a personal level, it's just as precious and rare a commodity. It seems that people can't live with themselves and they can't live with each other. Divorce reflects our inability to secure peace in our homes. Mental illness is at an all-time high. Drug abuse is directly linked to folks' inability to find peace. We crowd our lives with things and with activities, and we shut out the silence as best we can. We can't stand the silence, because in the silence, our thoughts percolate to the surface and they remind us that there is no peace. On the day that Jesus was born, there was a kind of peace in the known world. It was called peace, Pax Romana, Pax Romana, Roman peace. The doors of the temple of the god Janus in Rome were closed, signifying that this was a time of peace across the Roman Empire. When there was war, those doors remained open. But there is no relation between the kind of peace, this kind of peace, and the peace about which the angel spoke. Rome's peace is much like the peace that we enjoy today. It's an enforced peace. It existed because the Roman arms had crushed all opposition within the empire. But there was no peace in men's hearts. Today we speak of peace and we try to achieve it with diplomacy and the balances of military and of political power. But true peace cannot be known through these means. The angel who had said, "Fear not," was joined by a heavenly host who proclaimed peace among men in whom God is well pleased. This kind of peace is the source. It's found in the God who came to earth as a baby so many years ago. It is the kind of peace which puts us at peace with God, with ourselves, and with each other. It's the kind of peace which comes when we encounter the man, Jesus, and allow him to be Lord and Savior of our lives. We cannot be well-pleasing to God unless Jesus resides in our hearts. More than likely, there are some who are gathered here even today, or we each have family and friends and neighbors who lack inner peace. We've sought it in external things, drugs, alcohol, love, work, materialism, but it's all failed to fill that God-sized void in each of our lives. So the call today is, won't you allow Jesus to fill that void and to bring true peace within? The angel also delivered a message of promise. So what do you think when you hear the word evangelist? What comes to your mind? Evangelist. You think of some TV preacher? Maybe a little flashy? Putting on a big show? Or maybe you think of that revival when you were a child, when you gave your life to Christ. Sometimes it has a negative connotation today, doesn't it? But did you ever think that an angel could be an evangelist? Well, the word angel comes from the Greek word for messenger. It is the word evangel. The angel that appeared to the shepherds was probably the very first evangelist, delivering what he said was good news for all the people. He said literally, "I evangelize to you a great joy. I share with you good news that will be joy for all people." The first indication that the Savior of the world had been born was made by a messenger from heaven. This is the most glorious message that's ever been heard on earth. It is, and it's universal in scope. It wasn't just intended for the Jews alone, but for, as he said, all the people. And I got some really great news for you. That includes you and me. This is the greatest news of the ages. Our Savior has come. God entered into the world to conquer sin and death and darkness in his own body. What a relief. We don't have to just wing it on our own anymore. And some of us are past masters at trying to wing it, aren't we? We who were created a little lower than divine, but who fell miserably because of sin, can be recreated, made new, because God loved us enough, as the old Hallmark commercial said, to send the very best. He sent his own son to die in our place. For the first time in our existence, we can experience true hope, for God is not slack in keeping his promises. You know, all through the Bible, we see that God has performed signs. Signs to confirm the validity of a promise. To Noah, he offered a bow in the sky. Mm-hmm. To Gideon, he offered a fleece. Did it twice, in fact. Mm-hmm. And to these shepherds, he offered an unlikely sign, but it was a universal message. A baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. It was perhaps the single experience that all nations know, the birth of a child who is Emmanuel, God with us. I often hear folks talk about, well, we don't need to be praying to God. You know, he's so big and far removed from us, he and Jesus. And so we'll pray to the saints or we'll do some other kind of halfway measure. No. Emmanuel, God with us. What wonderful news that is. I read once of a family that had originally consisted of four: father, mother, sister, brother. But the little brother had died, and his death was creating a continuing crisis within the small family. What had been a happy family was transformed into one that was almost always deeply sad. The father was a supervisor at the post office, and one morning shortly before Christmas, he sat down at his desk to sort out a stack of "what do we do with these" kind of letters. And of course, there were several that were addressed to Santa Claus in care of the North Pole. Mm-hmm. And so as he was looking through the envelopes, he had a moment of surprise because he recognized the handwriting of his daughter on one of those letters. And so he quickly opened up the envelope and he began to read. "Dear Santa, our family was once so happy until my little brother died. Mommy and Daddy are not like they used to be. And when I ask Daddy about it, he says that only eternity will ever change it. I don't know what eternity is, but if you have any extra eternities, would you please leave one at the house on Christmas Eve?" All right. And so the father wept over this letter, wept over the pain that he and his family were suffering, and he allowed God to begin to heal that hurt as he experienced the loss of his son. Eternity has entered into this world, and it did so on the first Christmas day. God put on flesh. He stepped out of heaven, and it was so unexpected that he would come and move close to us as a friend. He desires to be born anew in our hearts. Our sin problem requires eternity. It's the only answer which can solve it. Won't you allow Emmanuel to move close to you and dwell within your life as your friend? And then we see that the angel delivered a message of praise. Suddenly, the one angel was joined by a whole host of heaven as they praised God. Why all the fuss? God had acted to effect his redemptive purpose. We have to keep at the fore of our minds. This was not the plan B. This was his plan from before the creation of the world. The child had been born who would be the Savior of the world. It is God's revelation as redeeming love, that he shall express and receive his highest glory. The schism that had been formed between humankind and holy God had now been removed. Now there could exist in heaven God's glory and on earth God's peace. Glory to God. Glory to God for whatever he does. Whether it was destruction of the armed hosts of Egypt, the creation of the world in 7 days, or the salvation of the world, God is glorious and greatly to be praised. Amen. There was a woman who worked as a secretary in a large corporate office. And one day she commented to her boss about the unethical nature of a particular issue that had come up. It's a part of the company's business. And she felt that someone needed to point out the wrong. And she was especially concerned that she had been drawn in as an involuntary part of that issue. Her boss said, "Did you get that from that funny little church you go to?" And she responded, "I'm glad that my funny little church shows." We live in a world that's not always glad to find out that the little baby born in Bethlehem grew up to be the Savior of the world. It's Christmas. We have to remember that He came for Easter. Mm-hmm. Our witness of the good news is not always well received. And so it takes courage to be unashamed of the gospel, especially when we're around those who know us best, our friends and family. They're the hardest ones to witness to, aren't they? I wonder why that would be. Well, they know us warts and all, don't they? And they may know us from when before we claimed Christ as our own. They may know us from after we claimed Christ for our own. It's the power of God for salvation to those who accept it. The gospel. We are the fellowship of the unashamed, the unapologetic. We are the witnessing community. We are the praise community. Won't you come to the one whom we praise?